now declare the meeting open at the Wendell Pennies at 3:04 PM. Attendance and apologies. All councillors are in attendance. Acknowledgement of country. I begin today by acknowledging the Palitua and Panihia past peoples, the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which we gather today, and I pay my respects to elders past and present. I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. Thank you. Moving on. Somebody like to move and somebody like to confirm the minutes of January 2016, please. Kevin House, mover. Seconder, please. Councillor Dudman, thank you. Any discussion, councillors? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
That is unanimous. Thank you. Declarations of interest, General Manager.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we have one declaration of interest relating to the item being review of 2023-24 budget estimates from Councillor Emery Lader.
Thank you, General Manager. Councillor Workshop reports. So the report is as it is in the agenda. Moving on to the Mayor and Councillor's report. So it's as in the agenda. Council announcements and acknowledgements. Councillor Dudman.
Thanks, Mayor. I just want to acknowledge the St Patrick's Festival Steering Committee, who on the 16th of March will be hosting the annual St Patrick's Festival, but before that, on this Friday, the 16th of February, they'll be hosting a fundraising trivia night at the RSL from 6:30. And because there's so many people in the gallery today, I'd encourage them all to come along if they're available and help support this great cause, which will turn into a great celebration next month in Westbury.
Thank you, Councillor Dudman. Any other acknowledgements, announcements, councillors? Take that as no. Thank you. Petitions? New petitions, General Manager?
No new petitions or actions on previous petitions, Mayor.
Thank you. Community representations?
None today.
Thank you. Moving along, we're heading to public question time. So we've got some questions with notice, which are answered in the agenda from Helen Hutchinson and Sean Manners. When we head into public question time, I'll ask you if you've got a question to stand up and state your name, please, and I'll allow 3 minutes for the question to be asked. I'll ring the bell at about 2 minutes and 30 seconds to let you know you've got 30 seconds to try and wind up. I have been known to allow a bit of lateral, a bit of license for people to go a little bit longer, but and it is not a debate. You can ask a question. The question will be answered or taken on notice, and that will be, I'll ask you to move on to somebody else if that's applicable. So, open for questions without notice from the gallery, if there are any.
Sean Manners. Not about climate change, sir. So, regarding the upcoming community meetings plan for the review into the strategic plan, on the front page of your website, a link to the information is now in a box that just says, have your say. This is really ambiguous and tells you nothing. The website is really nothing. Shouldn't it be much clearer, so that people actually know what it's about, being that the strategic plan is 10 years?
Yep. Thanks, Sean. I'll take the question in front there. So, you're right, Sean. It's really exciting for us to be able to go to our community and reset our strategic plan for the next 10 years. That process is commencing. We have 3 public engagement sessions through March. It's a Saturday. I think it's the 2nd, 16th and 23rd off the top of my head, but it's those Saturdays. They're public. We are getting promoting those as best as we can. Have invited people individually, and service groups within the Meander Valley have been invited as well. We can have a look at the website and take on board your comments and look at improvements if we can. I think there was a Facebook post 3rd of February as well. So, yes, we're attempting to get the word out there, and we'd like to get as many people along as we can.
Thank you. It's just awesome, clear.
Sure.
And the second one, sorry. which is so plenty of other Tasmanian councils have information on how to present a petition to council easily, found on their website. Why does Meander Valley Council have nothing on their website about petitions and how community can put them in?
I think there's is that question answered in our agenda today? It is, so we have some comments.
I'm sorry, it wasn't.
I'll just keep going. So there is a response in our agenda today, which will also be published in the minutes. You say that other councils do. I don't think it's consensus that all councils do, but we can have a look at that in the future. Taking on board your other request there about the website, Sean, so we can have a look into that as well.
So another non-answer, thank you very much.
Good afternoon, my name is Tim Larson. Good afternoon, I just want to make a quick statement. I extend my gratitude to the City Council members of the Council, for their time in addressing our inquiries tonight. I just convey our appreciation for the establishment and ongoing maintenance of the Alston Drive off leash area, enabling its continued usage by the dog owning community. However, there exist concerns within our community regarding the safety domain which the Council has decided upon and undertaken these works. My query today pertains to the recent changes. Is there an official declaration in place? If so, could you kindly specify its location and confirm its adherence to relevant legislation? Conversely, if such declaration does not exist, I'm interested in understanding the reasoning behind its absence.
Good.
I'll just make a comment about the declaration comment there, Tim. Thanks. Just to clarify, I believe my understanding is that your question relates to its declaration as an off-lead area in the Meander Valley and the status as that under our dog management policy. Is that correct?
And the works that are happening at the moment to segregate the area.
Okay, so I can talk to that a little bit. May call on the Director of Development Regulatory Services as well, because she has been involved with the declaration aspect to your question, which I believe is in 2022. We undertake some public consultation in April and August in 2022 around our dog management policy and the declaration of certain areas as an off-lead area. There may be other people present based on comments from councillors earlier today, so there may be more questions. Perhaps I'll just hold off on the development type question for the time being, because if there isn't a question from the gallery, I believe a councillor will ask a question about the work that we're currently undertaking. So I'll just pause that for a minute.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. That's all.
Any other questions from the gallery?
This is another dog park question. My name is Melinda Pritchett. In the official response regarding the dog park works, council states that there is no fundamental change to the overall usable area, and that council officers determine the fence location based on operational and functional requirements. When making the decision to undertake the division of the Alfriston Drive dog park, was the least LAST map program used? And if so, was the waterlogging hazard noted when calculating usable space and determining fence location? Quite a big hazard.
Thank you.
I may provide a little bit, Melinda, thanks for that. I may provide just a bit more commentary about the development works, because I feel as though that comment may come up elsewhere. So, Council has a capital works program to improve a number of dog off-lead areas in our municipality. I think there was an earlier budget for that capital works, but the most recent contribution to that was in May last year, and June the budget was approved by council. So there's been funding there available for these development works for some time. The program includes installation of fencing that provides residents and their pets with separate enclosed areas that allows both vulnerable and general dogs the opportunity to enjoy playing, socialising and training in a safe environment. Deloraine specifically, there's a number of works that we have done. The fencing is one, but we implemented a new shelter, like a shade shelter, up there around 12, 18 months ago. We've worked to provide water to that property as well. So the fencing is actually sort of in the next iteration of a stage of works that we've been undertaking to improve the site. We've purchased some additional bench sheets as well that have been received, and they'll be installed also. The boundary fence improvements have been delivered along with a fence to divide the area, approximately 50% each side, to provide space for vulnerable and general dogs to have their own space. We have measured the area. The question specifically referenced the list, but we have had staff on site often, and we have had a contractor on site as well. We have had, I have personally received 3 emails. I believe there was questions without notice, which may be for the next meeting. I understand that our councillors have also been contacted directly. So we have also received a couple of two comments in support of the separation of the area to support small and vulnerable dogs as well. As far as the water logging, two emails that I received referred to water logging, one specifically around the early summer of 2022, which was a period where we received over 100 millimetres of rain for 3 months in a row, and Deloraine in fact flooded. So both of the areas in question are currently mown by our works officers all year round. So we don't currently see that as an issue for the dog areas, off-lead areas. But as with all of these works, there's no reason why, as things change over time and as we receive feedback, that we can't revisit these to make sure that we're continuing to deliver a facility that's to the best of our ability. Maybe it for that question.
Thanks, General Manager. Any other questions from the gallery?
I'm Julia Gosling-Dorin. Given the current surprise within the dog owning populace regarding these alterations, I'm compelled to inquire about the application of the principles of good governance in the decision making process concerning the changes to the Hoddesdon Drive off the how can the Anne Valley Council comply with their own policies and show good governance in this matter?
Thank you.
Yep. So, you're right. Governance and transparency and accountability in decision making is very important for our council. We refer to that regularly, and that's okay. So, when reviewing our dog management policy in April and August 2022, we did undertake consultation prior to declaring the respective defined areas. Feedback about the dog management policy was received at that time, and that included a small number of requests for community members to provide separate dog areas in Deloraine. So, as a council, we don't broadly consult on every capital works project or every service delivery. As mentioned in an earlier question of council today, we're actually going out and undertaking some community consultation public sessions for our strategic plan going forward soon, which will be good. But in this particular circumstance, there's no fundamental change to the overall usable area, and council officers determined that with the new shelter and the water installation and the fence locations were operational. So we didn't go out and consult specifically about a fence, the fence that has been raised earlier today. With Melinda's question there, I think she asked about the area. So, yeah, the perimeter of the area that we're in question is actually just below 500 metres. So it's actually the size of an AFL football field, and we don't see that the separation of that being into to around about equal 50% separation for the two areas is going to, negatively affect the experience of the users.
My question is not so much whether it was proper or right or anything to actually have a vulnerable dog park, but the thing that has upset us all is that there was no consultation on the actual size of the division, because we have in our large dog park up to 25 and even 30 dogs sometimes at the one time. the vulnerable dogs are going to be far, far, far fewer, which means that half of the area will be unused. Does council really believe that that's a good use of public space?
Well, the division, I guess, between those that feel that their dog is vulnerable or a general dog going forward will be up to the user, and something that is yet to be known, something that we will continue to answer as we go forward with the project.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Is it all right if I stay sitting?
Yeah.
My name is Jean Palfrey. And I'm one of the people that goes to the dog parks with my dog. Right. Is it usual behaviour for councils to notify the public of proposed works in public spaces, as this ensures transparency, safety, and also allows for the public to provide feedback, as evidenced by the Facebook post yesterday regarding footpaths in Kerry? Why was there no such notification or consultation in regards to the growing
I'll take that one again, I guess. Other mayor or councillors may contribute as they see fit. I guess consultation can be sort of seen in two ways. In this instance, it can be council consulting and asking for feedback, as we did in 2022 when we were producing our dog management plan and declared areas. So we did ask for feedback in that sense. But in this instance, with the Capital Works project, often it's really council creating awareness or advising the community that a work is due to occur. So for a project of this nature, we could have advised the public, and that's probably a learning for us in the response that we have received, that we could have advised the community, but for a project like this, I wouldn't say that we would necessarily consult, engage feedback and then manage that feedback. And I probably feel as though I need to... I talked about the program earlier, because the project that we're talking about is actually consistent with work that we have already done in this entire program of works. When we created a new off-lead area in Prospect Vale at the bottom of Chris Street, we also provided separation at Blackstone Heights. We provided separation at Hadspin, just southeast of the Hadspin Lions Park. And we created separation for vulnerable dogs and general dogs. It's actually consistent with best practice in Tasmania and interstate. This is a contemporary way that is seen to be providing a safe area for all users and community and the animals themselves, I suppose. Our work is consistent with that. So I guess the separation within the Deloraine dog off-lead area for vulnerable dogs and general dogs is seen as appropriate safety measure, as I said. And not all dogs are suited to off-lead areas, so we sort of see this as a risk mitigation and creating safety. Council does have a role in ensuring responsible animal management ownership. Providing separation is seen as a commonly applied risk management measure in Tasmania. Council officers undertake a compliance role within animal management, and attending dangerous dogs and dog attacks is hazardous and stressful for all of those people that are involved in those instances. So really, they are the primary reasons why that we've looked to create this. It's not certainly not to take away the enjoyment for any of the users.
Councillor Stenfield.
Yes. Thanks, Chair. Just a comment. Listening to the questions being asked and the emails we've had in recent days over this subject, there's no reason in my mind why this is necessarily set in cement for the next 100 years. And what I mean by that is, I hasten to add that the area I'm about to mention is in no small measure a floodplain, but Deloraine will be making significant, or the council will be working up and making considerable alterations to the racecourse area, and it has, right from the earliest versions of what might occur down there, has had dog run areas proposed, and there's no reason why there isn't sufficient area there for that to be out of the floodplain. It may well be that an answer going forward, not today, but in the very near future, is that maybe the vulnerable dog area and the current usage of the site for the others might be put in two different places. So you could end up with the vulnerable dogs down the race course and the fence removed at Alveston Drive and you get it back. I hope, and I haven't seen it yet, so remiss of me, but I hope that, for example, the car parking at Alveston Drive for the craft fair isn't affected deleteriously by an extra fence. I assume it's not. But as I say, one possible solution going forward is that we can address that issue in what we do at the race course.
Thanks, Councillor.
Just in response to that last point from Councillor Sinfield, the needs of the Tasmanian Craft Fair weekend, we're taking into account, Councillor, over the design.
Thank you. Any other questions from the public gallery?
I'm Julie Johnson, I'm from Deloraine. My question is, we're asking about the division of the dog park. Many people have been referred to the Dog Management Review of 2022 and the Meander Valley Council official statement also refers to the policy. Where in the policy is the division discussed or any relevant plans shown?
I'll just have a go at the question. Perhaps the director will alone contribute. So the area that we're talking about, the entire perimeter that I sort of spoke to being about 500 metres, is declared in that dog management policy as an off-lead area, but the fence, the exact fencing detail is not included in that, Julie. So I think that's probably in answer to your question.
Okay, any other questions from the gallery?
Can I just ask one more question?
I'll allow one more question, yes.
Is there anybody else that's got something? This is from me personally because, there are so many dogs that interact at the moment in the dog park, from the tiniest little wee ones to the great, great big ones. And all those dogs get on wonderfully well. There's no altercation, nothing. And so for only to have 50% of the dog park, we've got all those dogs sometimes all come in together, and now they've only got half the amount of space. And so they're going to be much more, much more friction there with all the dogs in the half of the thing. While the other side, you might be lucky to get three or four dogs ever. And so they've all been pushed into half of it, and so very, very, very few of the other ones. And it's a risk for all those dogs to be playing in half the space. Maybe I shouldn't have brought that up.
No.
It's important.
Thanks for stating that. I guess from a council point of view, we are looking at the well-being of all dogs, being large ones and small ones. And as Councillor Sinfield has said, we are looking at reducing the size of that for the large dogs. There's nothing to say somewhere down the track that we can't look at changing that, if need.
And one other comment, I guess we don't know what the change will bring. It may be that some, we may bring new users to the area. We may find that some of the owners feel that their dog is more vulnerable and they will move to a separate area. So I guess these are all things that are unknown and we'll keep an eye on over time as we move forward.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, take that as no thank you from the public. Appreciate it. Moving on to Councillor Christian Tyne. Can I also ask that if you've got handwritten questions of that question you asked today, that you can please hand it in as you go out the door, please, so it can be included in the next agenda for the next month. Okay, Councillor Question Time. Councillor questions with notice. We have two questions. Councillor John Temple, Councillor Amory Loader have questions in there that have been answered. And are there any questions without notice from councillors? Councillor Dudman.
Thanks, Mayor. I too today would like to talk about dog parks. I think a lot of my questions have been answered in spatters throughout public question time, but for the desire of transparency and clarity, I'm just going to ask four questions as well relating to this matter. The first, can you explain what work is being conducted at the Deloraine Dog Park on Olverson Drive and why this work has been completed?
Yep. Do you want us to answer as we go? Yep.
And do whatever.
Yeah, it's probably better.
Yep, to retain the context, it's probably better. Sure. So, thanks, Councillor Dudman. And as you say, probably cover off on a bit of the discussion to date. So, what works have occurred? Councillor's capital works program to improve a number of dog areas in our municipality, and not just Deloraine. This program includes installation of fencing that provides residents with their pets with separate enclosed areas that allows both vulnerable and general dogs the opportunity to enjoy the area. At the Deloraine, a new shelter has been built, water provided to the site, additional bench seats have been received and are awaiting installation. Boundary fence improvements are being delivered along with a fence to divide the area approximately 50% and to provide for vulnerable dogs and general dogs. Why? Council, this project is intended to improve the off-lead areas at a number of our localities. So I mentioned Prospect Vale, Blackstone Heights, Hadspin. We are talking about Deloraine, and we also have an intention to deliver a new area for Westbury as well. The separation within the Deloraine dog off-lead area for vulnerable dogs and general dogs is seen as an appropriate safety measure and risk mitigation practice for people and animals. Not all dogs are suited to off-lead environments, and at times there is tension between animals as well. Probably enough for today.
What community consultation has occurred during this process?
As mentioned in earlier comments there, we don't undertake a consultation process during 2022 around our dog management policy and the off-lead areas and the management of those. But specifically for fencing works, Councillor, there hasn't been consultation undertaken other than discussions that council officers and elected members have had with the community members and users of the property.
Following the project, is council considering ways it can better plan, consult and implement future projects like this in the community, given the response that we've had in this matter?
Yeah, so we've had some emails. I believe councillors have had some phone calls also, and our questions from the gallery today, which is good to see that the area is used and loved, which is great. Council regularly reviews how projects are delivered and feedback that we receive from council officers, elected members and community members. We aim to consult on significant new services or infrastructure, and this is not believed to be the case with the Deloraine Dog Park, as there was not seen to be a fundamental change to the service, as one of the members of the public has questioned today. In this instance, we could have placed start work notices at the property, advising users of the upcoming works, as I mentioned earlier, and we've received a small number of community members providing us with feedback, which we will take on board and consider with any future works at the property.
And in the new iteration of the dog park, where it is cut in half, do you feel there is sufficient space for all dog types to enjoy the space, be active and play?
So as I mentioned earlier, I believe the perimeter is just under 500 metres, that's that 490. So the new areas are considered to be suitable for the intended purpose and gets considered to be a large area in comparison to some others that we've seen.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Loader.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to say thank you to the gallery for coming along and being passionate and asking questions. That's really fantastic. Thanks for taking time out of your day to come along. So I've got a question that a resident, who I believe is here, has asked me, and it relates to why isn't there a line item relating to the dog park works in the 2024 annual plan and corresponding line item in the budget? And I must admit I haven't looked, but I believe the resident has, and so I'm asking on her behalf.
The budget for the works that we're talking about today, the shelter, the water connections and the fencing, have all been approved as capital works budgets by council. I think it's called, I think it's Project 8803, dog park improvements, or something to that extent. And budgets have been approved in at two separate times. I believe the most recent was June 2023. So the overall budget for all of those program of works was $175,000 as a capital works program inclusion. So it may not be seen in our budget estimates, but it is on our capital works program list.
Any other questions, councillors? Councillor Dudley Stewart, you have a microphone. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Mayor. Councillors have been made aware of a recent Tasmanian devil death on Meander Road near the township of Meander. With the devil facial tumour disease devastating devil populations across the state, even one devil death is a tragedy. According to the Tasmanian Devil Road Kills Project, it is estimated that between 350 and 450 devils are killed each year on our roads. The Meander Area Residents and Ratepayers Associations, Inc. or MARA, has asked council to invest in signage reminding motorists to consider wildlife and to slow down. Can council provide signage, and can MARA be consulted with on the location?
The council's administration received the, I believe, the same correspondence that you did, Councillor Loader, directly. So we have received the same request that you have. Can we provide signage? We do provide signage in other areas of the municipality. I guess, will we provide signage? We'll consider the request, and we can talk to MARA about the location that they are expecting us to provide signage. So while I can't give a commitment today, we're certainly reviewing their requests as well.
Another one, Councillor.
Yes, and on the same subject, I've also been approached by residents of both Blackstone Heights and Westbury with concerns about native animal roadkill and the possibility of similar signage urging motorists to slow down. So apart from writing to councillors, as MARA did, what else can residents with these concerns do?
So requests for signage can come through to council's customer service area. They can be by phone, 6393 5300, to our email address, mail@mvc.tas.gov.au. And those requests will come through to the relevant respective council officers and be reviewed as they come up. And they'll either be an operational program, which we'll have a look into and find out about maintenance budget, or if it's a larger scale, we may need to seek council approval as a capital works project. So by phoning through or emailing, their request will certainly be received and heard, Councillor.
Thanks,
Councillor Lowder. Any other questions, councillors? Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Simply my usual question relating to a proposed prison. Has there been any communication or anything of note since the last meeting?
Not to myself, Councillor Temple. General Manager, any correspondence or any engagement?
I haven't received any correspondence from the Tasmanian Government about their project, Councillor.
Any other questions, councillors? Take that as a no. So just a reminder to councillors, please send your questions via email for the minutes. Thank you. So moving on, so we have no planning authority items in front of us today in today's agenda. So we move on to our other business. We've got a council notice of motion, Councillor Ben Dudman, Economic Development Forum. Sorry, for those that want to leave, I'll allow you to leave the gallery if you wish to now. Otherwise, we will continue on with the meeting. My apologies for not letting you know that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I will not be going to the vulnerable dog area, even though I've got an extra leg. Thank you very much. Sorry,
no, that's fine.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, well, I thought I was all here to support your motion, Ben. But okay, moving along. Righto, so we've got a motion there. Councillor Ben Dunman, do I have a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Dunman, obviously, is the mover, you would hope so. Seconder, Councillor Loader, thank you. Councillor Dunman, is the mover of the motion?
Thank you, Matt. I will let the motion be taken as read on the screen there, as it's quite large. But the crux of this is that, as a municipality, I think it's time that we take some initiative in discussing our economic future, how we can develop it, and how we can improve it for our future generations. We have two options before us. We can either sit back and hope that industry and business come to our area and provide us with jobs and opportunity, or we can go out there, discuss with business, discuss with stakeholders, and discuss with our community what we want to see in terms of economic development in this municipality and how we are going to achieve it. And that's what this proposal is for. I believe that it is important that we are communicating with business about our future. If we do not do this, we are simply losing an opportunity to improve our municipality and potentially lose out to other municipalities who will benefit from our inaction. So the proposal is quite simple. We bring together business stakeholders in the community for an economic development forum. There we discuss where we currently are and where we would like to go. We bring the community on board. And from that, we will endorse a document of where we see our municipality going and what we need to achieve. So we can submit that to our respective colleagues in the state and federal governments for discussion and investment. I note that council has limited scope for works of this kind, and that's why it is limited to this forum, with the only ongoing goal being that we use the end discussion to further advocate for our region and attract more investment into our region. And a municipality and a local government authority who is speaking about economic development will in itself attract economic development because people will understand that it's something that we take seriously, and as we should. Most people around this table have been in some way, shape or form a business owner, either in their current lives or their past. I think everyone here understands the importance of this and what it can do for our community. In terms of the cost, of course, $20,000 is less than 0.1% of our annual budget. It will ensure that the forum is professional, we get the most out of it, and it is fully branded and owned by us. And importantly, I refer to a fellow councillor's comment previously on this amount. If we just get one investment in our region from this $20,000 commitment of a forum, then it will have well and truly paid for itself in leaps and bounds. I would hope we get a lot more. It's not a motion or an item that is meant to transform our community overnight. I don't see businesses pulling up on the doorstep tomorrow, but it does give us the opportunity to talk about how we can get those businesses here and how we can make sure that our young people have jobs so that they can stay here, rather than what we see far too often, which is limited opportunity and therefore our people move away from here. So I'll leave it at that for now.
Thank you, Councillor Dunman. Councillor Loader, second it.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Dunman, for bringing this motion to us. I think it's a great idea. I think the municipality is absolutely crying out for this sort of forum. You can see from the Great Western Tears Tourism Association, when they get together, they plan things, they make things happen, and this can be done on a much larger scale. We also have in Deloraine, this end of the municipality, we have the vet centre. This can help inform the vet centre about training that's needed for the different industries. Our population is growing. Do we want to just be a dormitory town for Launceston and everyone just go into Launceston and work and then come back out here to sleep? I don't think we do. I think we want to provide business and opportunity for the people who live all over the municipality. So I commend you. To me, it's a no-brainer. It's gathering ideas. It helps us inform what we do. And so, yes, I fully support it. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Councillor. Open up for discussion questions, councillors. Councillor House.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I too support the initiative and congratulate Councillor Dudden on raising it. A few things sort of come to my mind. There's really no monopoly on ideas and initiatives, and I think what this really does, it enables people, like-minded people, innovative people, to come together. And as much as there might be information sharing, I think it's also a great networking opportunity, which, quite frankly, we probably don't do enough of. Getting like-minded people together, innovative people, and you never quite know, and I agree with Councillor Dudd, but you'd probably like to get more than one very strong initiative out of it. So, I'm fully supportive of it. It's just the idea of bringing people together, like-minded people, networking, throwing those ideas around, I think can only be beneficial to our municipality and to our community. So I'm fully supportive.
Thanks, Councillor House. Councillor Temple.
Thank you. I support this initiative, but we've done it 20 years ago in the time of Mayor Shelton, and we had consultants of Bob Campbell and Linda Jones conduct it for us. It took place in the town hall. It was very well attended. Everyone was very excited. A lot of what was transpired is still of value. I was wondering if we, in this process, in the first instance, we can find those documents and review them. It may help us in this process. And the second thing is a question is, how are the people going to be selected to attend? Is it self-selection, or are we going to be inviting people? And if we were going to invite people, how is the list going to be formulated?
Thanks, Councillor Temple. I guess that's a question that we will have to talk about through staffing if we get this particular motion over the line. So all those questions to come at some stage, Councillor Temple.
So, Mr. Mayor, does that mean that it will go to a workshop, or staff will consider how this ought to be operated? Assuming we pass this motion today, where will it go from there?
General Manager, as operations, where would you like this to go? I'll say I would assume that this would go to a workshop, Councillor Temple, for us to best decide, and then go forward from there, but I can't.
Yes, I guess as far as the timing, before we talk about timing there, Councillor Dudman's notice of motion here has indicated an end date no longer than the 16th of June 2024, which is a bit of a touch of concern from an administrative perspective in order to try and achieve that within the time frame when there are probably a number of question marks around how it would be delivered. So unknown, but if we were to look at the March Council workshop, then yeah, it's going to be quite a quick turnaround. But logically, yes, an unplanned project that comes on board, we would workshop something of this nature. So that would be a logical step.
Thanks, Chair. Councillors, Councillor Temple, did you want to add something to that?
Just from what the General Manager just said, Mr. Mayor, it sounded to me it may be better from a logistics point of view if the date was flexible to something during this year rather than by the 16th of June.
Without speaking for the GM, I think we realise that we've got strategic planning workshops happening in the month of March, and I think the GM's concerned about staff workload, but I guess that's something that we as council will have to work on.
Well, I'd like to ask if Councillor Dutman is set on the notion of the 16th of June, or if there could be some flexibility.
Yeah, look, I'm noting down questions as they arise for response that I'll speak to fully in conclusion. But in terms of the timing, my preference is that it is in the first half of this year. As I've said before, we can't lose opportunity. And letting things wait too long is how you lose opportunity. And not only that, there's never going to be a perfect time where there's nothing else happening. In terms of the staffing allocation, of course, part of the budget is to ensure that we can have external providers assist with the logistics of the forum. So yes, there will be internal staffing requirements, but by and large it's not going to be an event, and this is why that budget line item is so important. It's not going to be an event that's run off the side of everyone's desk because they're so busy that they can't give it the full attention.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Temple. Sorry, Councillor Simpill. I was looking at Councillor Simpill, it said Councillor Temple. My apologies.
I didn't know you were so good looking. The idea I have no problem with whatsoever. I would have liked some of the wording, with all due respect, to have been a bit different. For example, point two, one would hope that the forum is not called the day before a council meeting because somebody's going to be working overtime trying to comply with point two as it's worded, or as I read it, worded. And also point three, I would think in this day and age we, I'm sure we can send it to others, but the wording is that it goes to the state and federal ministers and the major opposition party in each jurisdiction. I would hope we would share that document perhaps more widely with various groups that might be intending to represent us or are representing us by the date this document is produced. But I'm not going to die in a ditch.
Well, Councillor, I'm glad that you're not going to die in a ditch. I am happy if it is an issue for you to remove immediately from point two. And of course, to extend the scope of where we send the document, I think we can read point three as being the starting point. But if other opposition parties or governing parties in a coalition or independent members of our parliaments wish to view this document or we feel that it should be sent to them, then I certainly have no issue with it.
If I may, for point two, I would suggest that maybe at the council meeting, at a council meeting within 2 months of the forum, if the mover and seconder were amenable to the mover.
As the seconder of the motion, Councillor Loader, are you happy with the amendment that was put forward? Okay, Councillor Dunman, you're happy with that? Thank you. So we now we'll remove item number two. Correct me if I'm wrong. We'll just make sure that we get this in place before we.
So it'll be removed immediately following from point two and inserting within 2 months from the forum.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for Andrew to get that.
Just waiting for it to
refresh. Yeah, just waiting for it to come up on the screen so we understand what we're voting on. wonder if Councillor Kelly hasn't got a joke.
Can I make a comment? I'll go away.
Oh, it's all done. That's all. Thank you.
Have to.
Mention the fact that state growth have taken to state growth have taken to heart our comments on clearing of roadside vegetation. They had an army of tractors on Creek Road as I came through, about six, multiple other escort vehicles, and they were doing one side of the road from the road to the fence with this, you know, staggered approach. Haven't seen that before.
Okay, Rebecca, just to check with the mover and the seconder that you are happy with what is there with item number two.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Moving on. Any other comments? Councillor Cameron.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben, for taking the time to bring this to the council table. And as we discussed, that I am in principle supporting you on this. My only concern really was that we will do an amazing forum and get some amazing information from it, and then we won't have anywhere to progress some of that work. So as I said to you, I nearly would have been more supportive of making it a higher amount of money so that we could have actually worked on delivering some of these initiatives. In saying that, you have to start somewhere. And so very keen to support economic development in the Meander Valley. So thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. From my point of view, Councillor Dunman, well done for bringing this to the table. Absolutely in support in principle. My background was former chair of the Meander Valley Enterprise Centre, which was funded by the Business Enterprise Centres of Tasmania for a long time. We had one full-time employee for quite a few years, and that employee engaged with businesses all the time. I guess my only concern is when you have a forum that you're planning, business people seem to be very busy and they don't actually like to turn up at times to business forums. Now, we've tried, when I was there, breakfasts, nighttime meetings, all sorts of things to get in there. Unless there's something that's really, that they're really passionate about, and unless we can sell it really well, I do hope it doesn't fail, I guess. And then fail is probably the wrong word. We do need to drive business all the time. Absolutely we do. And it would be great if we had a Chamber of Commerce here. And if we look at Northern Midlands and Kentish, they do have their, I can't even think what the proper wording of it is, but it's not a Chamber of Commerce, it's a business that's supported by Northern Midland Council, which is good. Launceston have Launceston Chamber of Commerce. But we've got to start somewhere, I totally agree. And while the funding, as Councillor Cameron said, is probably not enough, it's a start. Hopefully we get something out of it and we can go forward. So happy to support the motion. Thank you. Councillor Stinfield.
That may be one outcome of the forum, is that we do end up with some sort of...
good outcome, that would be.
Great. Any other discussion, councillors? Take that as no. We'll go back to the second of the motion. Councillor Loader.
Thank you, Mayor. I think in my earlier comment, I mentioned the VET Centre. It's not that anymore. It's the Trade Training Centre. My apologies. I think if it's promoted well, we will get a lot of different businesses turning up. If you take, again, the Great Western Tiers Tourism Association, every time they put an interesting speaker or networking event on, they sell out tickets. So there's obviously a need for businesses to come together. So I don't think that's going to be an issue as long as it's promoted well. And I would hope that we would get some kind of Chamber of Commerce coming out of this, because ultimately council can be can start something like this, but we can't keep it going, but we could be the people that kickstart something truly fabulous for business in Meander Valley.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Dubbin.
Thank you, everyone, for your contributions, and I'm hoping your support. Look, my concluding remarks would simply be to have some courage and back in our people and businesses within this municipality for economic opportunity. If we don't get it, we don't get anywhere, so there is no risk in trying. Including the past forums for review, as you pointed out, Councillor Temple, I'm more than happy to have a look at those as well. We can always learn from the past. In terms of selecting people to attend, again, it's operational, but I'm more than happy for anyone who would like to attend to attend. And of course, there'd need to be targeting invitations sent to specific businesses and stakeholders, which can be organised. But really, this motion is just about backing our business and our industries and making sure that we have a strong economic future for the Meander Valley. I think there's community expectations in what I have worded here will be set, in that we are providing the opportunity for discussion, but we are in no means saying that we can or will adopt everything that comes out of it. What we will do is provide the advocacy that we should be providing to the higher levels of government from our community about what we need in this area. And look, there's always a risk that no one will show up to your forums. But if we sell it well and put on a show, I have no doubt that we'll fill the room. My final note is that we need to risk it for the biscuit, which in youth terms means that you've got to take chances to make it work. And just in the event that community members, or more importantly, the examiners listening in, I do not want risk it for the biscuit to be the quote for this forum. So, thank you.
Thanks, Catherine. There's probably an older quote that comes to mind, but I won't say. Anyway, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Right, and raise your hands. Those against. Okay, so four is Johnson, Cameron.
No, I was four.
Oh, you were? Oh, you were very slow, Councillor.
No, you said you didn't on the voice, and then I raised my hand when you asked for the hand.
Okay, unanimous then. Thank you, councillors. I nearly had you go another way. Right, moving along, people. Thank you. Thank you, councillors. So we're on page 22. Undocumented domestic building works. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second, please. Councillor Dubbin, thank you. Seconder. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Dubbin, as the mover.
Happy to move this policy review. I had a really good question during the workshop that I think should be put on the public record, but I'm just struggling to remember what it was now.
It was a really good one.
No, it was a really good one. I think it was...
Do you remember it?
Can you explain to the community what my question was and what the answer was?
Hey, but before we do that, Councillor Cameron is the seconder on the motion.
I know what his question was, but I don't. Thank you. Look, I think it's important to have a policy like this. I hope that you don't have to enact it too often, but I'm sure you probably do, so I appreciate your work in that space. Thank you.
Okay, open up for discussion, councillors. Yes, Krista, do you remember the question the councillor of Dudman can't?
I do, Mr. Mayor.
Good, thank you.
Dudman asked a question about the requirement for getting a report for every undocumented building work case that we came across, and my response was no, not every single undocumented building work has to have a report. It's only if they are requesting to issue a building certificate and there's some concerns raised following inspection as to the safety of the structure.
Roger, that was a good question.
So, just for clarity, Krista, if there's a new DA goes in and there's existing buildings on a spot or a farm or whatever, and we find out that the buildings don't seem to have any paperwork with them with the council, and they may well be the Deloraine Council or maybe in the Westbury Council, is it fair for us to then turn around and say to the owner, well, okay, even though it was ticked off by the previous two councils, that we actually want you to bring those up to standard and pay an additional cost? Is that where we're heading with this? I just want
to... Yep.
Just the opposite.
Yes, that is not the way that we are heading with this. This is a way...
The clarification that I was after, Krista. Thank you. Just want to make sure for those that are listening that those are out there going, oh, geez, the council's chasing more money for something. Thank you. Yeah, sure.
To contribute to that, Mr. Mayor, so this is a review of an existing policy. It's not a new one. So the way that we manage the works won't materially change from the review that's been undertaken. It's consistent with the way that we have managed those events in the past.
Good. Thank you. Can I only ask anyone else, councillors, any other questions? I wasn't putting you on the spot, Chris.
No.
No one? Nothing? Well, put the motion in. Oh, back to the seconder. Sorry, second of the motion.
I'm very happy today, thank you.
You're very happy today. Councillor Dudman? He's very happy today too.
Yeah, I'm very happy. I got what I wanted out of today. But happy to support this, as I said, and that's the clarity I was looking forward to make sure that, you know, this policy couldn't be interpreted as a money grab, and it certainly isn't. It's about safety and ensuring that we are doing the best by the community.
Thank you. I shall put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand and say aye.
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 Really? That's unanimous. Unanimous. Thank you. Corporate Services review of policy number 71, which is on page 30. Very good. Moving to seconder, please. Councillor House, thank you. Seconder, please. Councillor Dudman, thank you. Councillor House is the mover.
Oh, look, I think there's been very little change. We've workshopped this before, Mr. Mayor. I think there's been very little change, and it just appears to me a couple of minor changes that just represent fiscally sound management, and happy to support the policy.
Thanks, Councillor House. Councillor Dudman.
Yeah, likewise, I'm happy to support. Obviously, this was first discussed at the Audit Committee, which Councillor House and I are on, and then I went to a workshop. I think the largest part of the discussion has been about the maximum holdings in different rated areas for our investments. And I think that balance is fair and reasonable. Some would consider it a bit conservative, but I think it's a good balance to have, so happy to commend it.
Thank you, Councillor. Open up for discussion, councillors. No? None? Happy? Going once, twice, Councillor Dudman, you have anything to add as the... No? Councillor House, if you move the motion, nothing to add. I'll put the motion, all those in favour, say aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
That's unanimous, thank you. Next policy is Infrastructure Services Review Policy number 14. On page... No, have I missed it?
37.
So I did miss it. Mr. Glaston. It's 37. We'd like to move. Somebody like to second, please. Thanks, Councillor Dudman. Seconder, please. Mr. Loader, thank you. Mr. Dudman is the mover.
Happy to endorse it, although I feel that people who are looking at replacing a fence that that goes along council land won't be as happy. But really, this just brings us in line with the Boundary Fences Act from the state government. So it is fair and reasonable.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Loader, seconder. Nothing to add. Open for discussion, councillors. Take that as no discussion. Anything to add, Councillor Loader, so there's been no discussion? Councillor Dudwood, anything to add as the mover? No? Okay. Give the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
Against? Right. So Johnston, Cameron, Kelly, Dudman, Loader House 4 and Sin Build and Temple against. Thank you. The page for me. That's 51. Okay, review of policy number 78, new and gifted assets. And we'd like to move. I've gone too far. That was your part. General managers lead me astray. That's 43, my apologies. Review of policy number 37, vegetation management. Somebody would like to move? Councillor Cameron, thank you. Seconder, Councillor Dudman, thank you. Councillor Cameron.
Thank you. Just wanted to say how important this policy actually is. I get quite a few queries around vegetation management on roadsides, and there's always a little bit of confusion with if it's state growth or a council-owned road. Usually I can tell you that if the roadside is managed well, it is probably a council-owned road, because I think the Annabella Council leads the way in the way that we maintain our vegetation. So if you do have issues with your roadside and you think there are some weeds and some overhanging trees and some things that need sorting out, happy to hear from you. I can help point you in the right direction of where you need to report that.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Councillor Dudman, is the seconder.
That's great advertisement for the council and the work, so I appreciate that, Councillor Cameron. I'm also happy to support this. I do have a couple of questions. Would you like me to ask them now or wait till we're in general?
Wait till we come back in, if that's all right.
I'll be back.
Thank you. I open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Temple. With your microphone, please. Yeah, thank you.
Just a few questions. Mr. Millwood is down here as the acting director. Is that correct at this time?
So, Councillor Temple, at the time of publishing the agenda, Matthew Millwood was our acting director of infrastructure services. That's correct. And as today, he has resumed his substantive position as the director of works. And we have our new Director of Infrastructure Services, David Murray, has joined us yesterday, which is excellent.
It mentions tree audits, and it mentions a comprehensive third-party audit. Does that mean that we don't have the necessary competencies to audit from ourselves?
Question for Matthew.
Thanks, Councillor. Through you, Mr. Mayor. No, we get an independent audit, Councillor, and no, we don't have a suitably qualified arborist on staff.
Yep. Well, just if in the future, by accident, there was a staff member that joined us that, for some other reason, that did have that necessary competency, would we use them, or would we have to, under this policy, seek outside an outside auditor because of how this policy is written?
Bit of a hypothetical, that one, Councillor, but thank you. Hypothetical, that one, Councillor, but the situation would be that I think being at arm's length in terms of the audit process, particularly around risk mitigation, is important. And I would, in the role when I was acting, I would certainly support the fact that the council kept that independence and it was audits were undertaken externally.
Okay. Thank you. And just the last question, if I may, regarding this process. Does it imply that the person that is conducting the audit is going down every highway and byway in our municipality and looking at every tree that council may own in every park, or are they just going to places where they're directed?
We have an asset list where we have identified trees, and that is not every road. It's not every rural area. It is generally confined to the urban areas, the streetscapes, and the parks and reserves. So they're our highest risk because they're the most populated areas, and that's where the audit focuses energy.
Thank you, Matthew. Councillor Dudman, I think you had a question.
No, I think Councillor Temple's covered everything quite well, so I'll refrain from taking up much more of the good director's time.
Okay. Any other discussion, questions, councillors? No, take that as no. You were the second, Councillor Dunham. Nothing further to add. Councillor Cameron has to move the motion. Okay, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Good. Against? Okay, so it's Johnston, Cameron, Kelly, Dudman, Temple, Loader, House 4, and Councillor Simfield against. Thank you.
Not more nice again. Not just a pretty face, John.
And so we go on to infrastructure services, which must have been where I was before, was it?
Yeah, that's page 51.
Page 51. So somebody would like to move, somebody would like to second that, please. Thank you, Councillor. Second up. Councillor House, thank you. Councillor Dudman.
I think I'm happy for the policy review to be taken as read. Don't have any questions at this stage.
Thank you. Councillor House is the seconder.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think it's important to consider the whole of life costs as they're outlined here and the implications for ratepayers. I think this is pretty well considered, a very well considered document. It takes all those factors into consideration, so I'm supportive of retaining it.
Thanks, Councillor. Open up for discussion, councillors. No discussion, no questions. Take it as read. Have you got nothing to add to that, Councillor House? You've just said, Councillor Dudman, anything to add? No? Okay, we'll put the motion in. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. Against?
Yes, that's yes. Yeah.
Thank you. It took you a little while, boys, up that end. That's unanimous.
Going, yes, looking for next one.
Infrastructure services. Yep. Yes. Page 57. Review of code for tenders and contracts. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second that, please. Councillor Kelly. Seconder. Loader, thank you. Councillor Kelly is the mover.
Nothing to add.
Thank you, Councillor Loader.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't really have anything to add other than I like the fact that we are concentrating on being local and sustainable. That's good.
Thank you. Open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Dubbin.
I do have a question that I thought I might find the answer to. I haven't. Just off course.
You might have to speak up, councillors.
Sorry, I'm muttering. In terms of advertising in the regional papers and newspaper, that's referenced in the document that I foolishly moved off and now I can't find. I assume that just means the examiner, but how do we define the regional newspaper? For clarity, that is 5.8.4, tenders for purchase 250,000 or greater on page 16 of 31.
Yep.
And so if you like, so Councillor, I think that's actually referred to in the Local Government Act in other points too, and it is a newspaper that is circulating in the local government area. So, yeah, it would be the Examiner as the most local regional newspaper for us.
Will it include the Leanna Valley Gazettes, given that that definition also covers that newspaper?
Stay with me, Mike.
Sorry, 5.8.4. Tenders for purchases 250,000 or greater. Tenders will typically be publicly advertised in the regional newspaper, with exceptions in line with section 7, including where there are limited supplies in the market to warrant a public tender.
So if we. So. guess, with using my example, councillor being advertised in the Examiner would tick off on council meeting that obligation, as in advertisement in the Examiner, which is probably more recognisable than the NMA Gazette, but I'll ask the manager of governance performance who'd like to make a comment also.
But you will have to yell, Wes, I'm sorry.
No worries, I'll see what I can do. So the requirement under the Act in regards to advertisement is daily newspaper, and when you go to the Acts Interpretation Act, that's what it defines, daily circulated newspaper. So that's why we mainly use, that's why we use the Examiner. So, I mean, there's no requirement under the Act to advertise in another place. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other questions, councillors? General Manager.
And that's what we generally do, Councillor. So it would be advertised in the Examiner when we have public tenders at this stage, just to clarify.
Right. Any other councillors? Councillor Sinfield.
This document, just to clarify, this document didn't change from the workshop till now?
No.
No.
No, that's correct.
Yeah. Any else? None? Councillor Oda is second. Oh, Councillor Kelly is the mover.
Nothing good.
Nope. Put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. Against? Yeah, so it's Johnson, Cameron, Kelly, Dudman, Sinfield, Loader. House was for, and Councillor Temple against. Infrastructure Services review of 2023-24 budget estimates. Move on.
That's the
page 120, correct me if I'm wrong. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Councillor Dudman, thank you. Seconder. Is seconder for the motion, councillors. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Dudman has moved the motion.
I'm happy to support the motion, obviously, in the two parts. I think the Capital Works project budget allocation of $40,000 for the new recycling shed at the Westbury landfill site is probably a lesser contentious matter, but I'm more than happy to endorse that and get that underway. In terms of the contribution to the Deloraine and Mole Creek Online Access Centre, this has been discussed a lot, and it's something that I certainly endorse unequivocally. The fact is that across this state, online access centres play a vital role in our community, in connecting community, in ensuring that people can have access to the internet, to printing, to technological advances, and are able to keep up to date with this technological age that we are currently in. Their value is especially important for the older generation, where in an era where there is higher amounts of scams that are occurring, people need to learn how to avoid them, how to detect them, how to be aware of them, and that is one integral part of what the online access centres at Deloraine and Mole Creek do. Obviously, across the state, this is a big issue where there has been chronic underfunding of the online access centres, and it is something that is completely unacceptable. It is not okay for this project, these centres, to just be hidden away within libraries. They need to stand alone and be able to provide service to the community. I know and I have seen that both of these online access centres are well loved, appreciated and needed by this community, and therefore I'm more than happy to support this. And in doing so, I note that it is not something that this council should ordinarily have to do, and I would encourage the state government or whoever the state government is in the next month to really look at the funding of the online access centres as a priority for regional communities.
Thank you, councillors. Councillor Cameron is the second of the motion.
Oh, thank you, Councillor Dodman. I think you gave a very clear overview of the motion before us. And yes, the recycling shed at Westbury is a fantastic initiative. On the matter of the online access centres, My only concern is that I personally would have liked to have had a broader discussion at a workshop before coming to a council meeting. In saying that, yes, I think one thing that sucks about life is that everything is online and it annoys the living bejesus out of me, and if there's a way to help people work through the online world, then if that's the online access centres in Deloraine and Mole Creek, then that is fantastic. I do, however, think that this might be a band-aid solution for a broader problem, but as the general manager pointed out to me, this buys some very important time to help the centre work through the next phase. So very happy that we can support it, and thanks the general manager for his initiative in bringing this to us.
Thank you. Open up for discussion, councillors. Any discussion, councillor Loder?
Thank you, Mayor. Ben mentioned that there are a lot of older people who struggle with technology, and that is the case, but it's not exclusive to that generation. We've had the Grattan report just out a couple of days ago, with literacy rates in children being very, very low. In Tasmania, we have one of the lowest rates of completion for year 11 and 12. And as Ben said, as our population ages, our older people will need to be able to access technology. Even if they've got the digital skills, they may not have the finances to have it at home. So I see this as a band-aid just for now. And I hope that the Mole Creek and Deloraine online access centres can use it to come up with a solution so that they can stick around for a long time. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Sinville.
Yes, thank you. It would be nice that we didn't have to occupy the space in terms of the second matter before us, the online access centres. However, I believe it's essential and worthwhile to fill in a role, and that we need to advocate strongly that state government of whatever ilk comes forward in the near future, that we're doing all that we can to encourage them to fund it properly going forward. And on indulgence, while I've got the microphone for the benefit of those who might be listening to the tape and neither here or not here, perhaps we could find out where Maxwell Smart's cone of silence is and use that so we can all hear each other at certain times.
Just to let you in on the secret, Councillor Sinfield, it didn't work, his cone of silence. Just let's know.
It did if you're outside.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else, Councillors? Councillor Kelly?
Yeah, I think it is just a band-aid solution. I regularly, out of Mole Creek, they've got a takeaway shop there where the online access centre is. From what I can see, it doesn't get used that often. Quite regularly when I'm there, it's not open, so I don't know what the operating hours are. 5,000 users, there must be a lot go through the Deloraine online access centre. And so, band-aid solution, happy to support it this time, but I think there should be a bit of research done around who actually uses it, whether they keep a diary, and so you can get some accurate numbers of people that use it.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other discussion, councillors? Okay, from my point of view, I would have liked to workshop this item. Obviously, we ran out of time. It just worries me, as it's been talked about before, that this is a band-aid solution. If they're waiting till July for the next tranche of state money, that's 5 months, and asking us to contribute $17,000, strictly wrong. If this was a discussion about other community groups, I'm sure there would be councillors around the table that would have asked for and wanted financials and all sorts of issues coming from those organisations. But here we are. It is a band-aid solution, happy to support at the moment, but probably not going forward if they come to the table again. Right, anything else, Councillor Dean? Comment, discussions? Councillor Timmel, you had some points you emailed through, raised, but they've been answered?
No.
haven't been answered.
No, but I think my opinion is of differs from other councillors. Yeah,
that's fine. Happy. Right. No other discussion. I'll put the motion. Sorry, I won't put the motion because Councillor Cameron has the second.
The thunder and lightning's gone away now, so it's fine.
Anything to add? Councillor Dudman has moved the motion.
Yeah, I think I've said enough, but I will just make note that obviously, you know, the usual practice would be that this would go to a workshop, but I think that given the urgency of the funding situation, I understand why it hasn't.
Thank you. Right, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hand. And against? Thank you. Johnson, Cameron, Kelly, Dudman, Sinfield, Loader, House 4, Council Temple, against. Thank you. Next one.
Report from our AGM.
124. 124. It's way at the back. So I can have two up. Still going. It's right there. It's right there.
You need glasses bad.
Sure, don't tell my wife that. I can see what I want to see. A bit like a... No, I want to... Right, moving along. Moving seconder. Moving seconder. So, Councillor House, thank you. Seconder. Councillor Dudman. You're on fire today, Councillor Dudman. Thank you. Councillor House has moved the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I'm happy to move the motion in respect of receiving and confirming the minutes of the last annual general meeting. Happy to do that. And also the organisational performance. I think it's all clearly outlined. What I would like to do is make a couple of comments, if I could, about the presentation of it. It's actually been brought to my attention. And I must concur with the comments that have been made to me. The presentation of this document doesn't really reflect the whole municipality. You know, I'm just going to make a couple of comments, if I can. Not a criticism, it's an observation. And I think we're all... you know, I think we're all trying to, you know, to learn from these things. For example, it's been brought to my attention that the maps...
You turn your microphone on, Councillor.
Oh, sorry. Please. I thought I had it on.
You might have to borrow it, Councillor. There it is.
Okay, we'll start again. Sorry, I thought I had it on. Look, I'm happy to endorse what I said before about... the receiving and confirming the minutes, and also the organisation performance. I think that's all clearly outlined and quite accurately covered there. Just want to make a couple of comments that have been raised with me, and I agree with those comments. I'm looking at the maps, for example, on the earlier pages there. I think on the actual document, what's showing here is page 120, maps on page 131, 132. There's references there to townships of Elizabethtown, Deloraine, Mole Creek, and that's all great. Fantastic places all, Meander. The second page there is Carrick, Westbury, but what seems to be missing is the eastern end of the municipality. I think these things matter, and I'm glad that it's been brought to my attention because I possibly missed it. No references there to Prospect Vale, Blackstone Heights, or Blackstone, Hatspen, and Fracknell, you know, among others, and I just think in the future we need to be a bit more mindful of that. Probably nothing deliberate, I get all that, but these things do matter to a lot of people, and...
Yeah, you did. You want to talk to them? Right, thank you. Sorry.
Thank you. No, you know, maybe it's something we talk about at a workshop at some point. I guess I'm always mindful of getting some common ground between the east and western side of our municipality. For example, it does make references to the new park at Las Vegas Drive. It doesn't say where Las Vegas Drive is. It doesn't say it's in Prospect. A minor matter, I know, but for some people, they're not going to know necessarily. I think I might even say, you know, it's subdivisions around Country Club Casino. Well, most of us know where that is, but again, it's Prospect Vale. So, not deliberate. I know those things are not deliberate, but I just think for future reference, we just need to be mindful of making sure that everyone gets equal billing with those with such things as an annual report.
Yep, sure.
Happy to endorse. Oh, I stopped again now.
Well, I guess we...
Yeah.
I'll just make one comment. Councillor House. It's the first time that that's actually been raised throughout the course of our annual general meeting and today's meeting. So take your comments on board. I do note that the eastern end of the municipality is mentioned in other areas, but yeah, just acknowledging your opinion there.
Thanks. Well, it's, to be clear, it's been conveyed to me as well, General Manager, so I'm really just passing it on, but I echo those thoughts. Thank you.
Spoken like a passionate councillor, Councillor House. Well done. Councillor Dudman has, as a second of the motion, has left the room, but didn't want to speak as the second of the motion. So we'll open it up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Temple.
I thought it was up to the next AGM to confirm the minutes of the previous AGM, not for it to be conducted in a different meeting.
We're receiving the report, aren't
we? No, it says confirming as well.
Yes.
We can receive, but I wouldn't have thought we could confirm.
Yeah, that's right, Councillor. The intention is to receive and confirm the minutes as being a correct statement of the annual general meeting in December so that we don't have a 12-month lag until the next one. So while the people are still present and fresh in our minds that it would be received. I don't think that this occurred in 2023 meeting. It did in 2022 meeting. I can't give you a reason why it wasn't the case last year.
Just for clarification, does that mean the next AGM in December this year will confirm these minutes as well? Or because you know, in a company structure, you confirm your AGM at the next AGM. You don't confirm it at an ordinary meeting.
Yep, take your point, Councillor. I guess we have the opportunity to meet regularly, which some may not, which is good. So we are receiving and confirming those to be an accurate reflection of the minutes of the AGM today. It may be that at the next and general meeting, which is intended to be around the same time in December, I think, from memory, that that we receive them, you know, that they are, have already been confirmed as being accurate today.
So,
with your microphone, please, Councillor.
So we're not receiving the annual report; we're receiving the minutes of the AGM.
So, as per the motion, we're receiving the minutes, confirming the minutes, and also the report as well.
So the minutes are just the motions passed at the AGM.
Look, I think I can probably just try and clarify that for you, Councillor Temple. So. The motion today, recommendations 1 and 2, were from the AGM.
Yes.
So for the people that were present at the AGM, that is per
yes.
what occurred at the meeting.
Yep.
And then number 3 is us receiving and confirming the minutes of our AGM that we held. So that is the new recommendation for today, that we are confirming the minutes of the AGM that just passed in December 23.
Do we actually have a document that says minutes of the AGM that we're confirming?
That was circulated, I believe, around about the week after the AGM. It was sent out and published on our website.
I see. So it's not within these documents?
No, the minutes are.
Okay.
Thanks for the question, Councillor. Councillor Sidwell, sorry.
Yeah, similar strong concerns. Just the Act says that an annual general meeting is not an ordinary general meeting of Council. My understanding of an AGM is treated as a one-off standalone thing, and that the next time you have an AGM, you would do that. 72B6 is the only substantive part of the Local Government Act that deals with annual general meetings. And for example, it says a motion passed at an annual general meeting is to be considered at the next meeting of the Council, which would have been January, not now.
But importantly, I don't believe it's talking about motions such as receiving annual report, etc., etc. And the reason I say that is in subsection 4 of that same section, it says only electors in the municipal area are entitled to vote at an annual general meeting. I don't presume for a moment anyone, the author of the Local Government Act, intended that somebody sitting in the audience, as we had that day, was meant to vote on receiving the previous annual report, etc., etc. It's only that, in my view, is only talking about motions that effectively come from the floor during the meeting. Could be anything. They might want a RV dump point in every town in the municipality, and we then bring those motions to the next council meeting, and in this case should have been January. Well, we didn't have any, but you bring them in January and say, what is the council itself, the elected members, what are they going to do with those motions that may have been brought? So if on the one hand you're interpreting motion to include all these things now, then you must also have allowed the people at that meeting to have voted on those motions as well. I just believe that's clearly nonsensical, and for me, I won't be supporting this because I do believe the AGM needs to be treated in a special way and dealt with at the, albeit 12 months' time, confirming the minutes, etc., at that time.
I'll ask the Manager of Governance Reforms to provide a comment, but my recollection is that there were no members of the public present. In fact, Councillor.
Yes, that's correct. At the AGM, there were no motions. The motion referenced there is a motion to accept the report. So there were no other motions at the AGM.
Right. Any other questions? No? Very good. Councillor Dublin, are you seconding that motion?
Well, I feel like I missed quite the discussion when I stepped out just before. But in piecing together what has just been discussed, I don't have a problem with this motion, and I will continue to support it.
Thank you. Councillor House, is the move of the motion?
Nothing to add, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. On that basis, I'll put the motion. Then all those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. Against? Okay, it's Johnston, Cameron, Kelly, Dudman, Loader, House 4, and Councillors Temple and Temple against. Right. Motion to close the meeting. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second, please. Councillor Loader, Councillor Cameron. All those in favour, please say aye, raise hands. Against? Unanimous. Thank you. Thanks, councillors. Thanks.